This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We are back here on a Friday, and if you want to know why I am practically giddy, I don't have to talk to any more politicians the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right.
I am politico free until Monday, and that's like a little mini vacation.
There's a lot going on.
All right, so you're right on the number of hits.
Seven was way low, too.
I'm going to go through that. I'm going to land on the number because there's hits and there's hits, and then there's Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and there's Frankie Valli, the solo.
I said I love Frankie Valli.
Oh, no, I get that. But the same people who love Walk Like a Man didn't necessarily love the soundtrack from Grease. I'm sorry, what does that mean?
I love the soundtrack from Grease.
The original, the Grease song?
Yes.
Grease is the word?
Yes.
Is the word? Is the word.
My favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yes, I love Grease.
See, every time I hit you with anything about watching a movie or show, you're like, I don't watch TV. And then you come in and you go, oh, except for Grease.
Yep. I could probably act that whole entire movie out myself.
All right. Let's go through the early hits because, I think there's variations, right? Even with Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. We're doing this because the Jersey Tenors is playing at the Devon Lake Shore Amphitheater Saturday night. It looks like Saturday night you're going to be fine.
I'll be good.
Like, for the show, right? So you got, like, your Big Girls Don't Cry, your Rag Doll, your Walk Like a Man, right? Your Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. That was the 60s. Starting in, like, you know, the 63, 64, you know, that was early stuff when they were very young and burst into the scene and, you know, before he was making, like, you know, appearances in The Sopranos.
Right. Exactly right, yeah.
And then you have the stuff like Grease and My Eyes Adored You, you know, that was like 70s stuff, right?
Right.
I'm putting this together. What was the other one they had that was sort of disco-y? Like Make It Through the Night or Who Loves You Baby, right?
Who Loves You Baby.
All right, Who Loves You Baby, 1975. So there's like a window, like early 60s to mid 70s to Grease, where it's sort of, I mean, that was the career.
Don't forget Oh What a Night.
Oh What a Night. Was that 1963? December 1963 is the name of that song.
Right. It's
that was 1975. Huh?
It's got a parenthesis, but it had a resurgence and was re-recorded, probably in the 90s or 2000s.
But it was a hit in 1975 originally. So that was that second iteration of... Who Loves You had that very sort of like pre-disco beat that didn't sound anything like Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Sure. Still his.
It's like Springsteen's Hungry Heart. You know, all these artists have one of those where you go, is that really him? Yes. So you're right. I'm counting, by all accounts, 8 genuine
mega hits.
Mega hits. But even, and that's a lot for a band that's been around for a little while, not a lot for a band that's been around 40 or 50 years. I mean, you know, if you're still around, still playing, still relevant, clearly you've got that catalog.
But they probably have 15 or so charted singles on top of the 8.
Do you care about, do you want to see all those? I'm saying the Jersey Tenors gives you a little bit of variety. You get some fun stuff. You get crowd interaction. They have fun with it.
You go to Kiss for Detroit Rock City, and I want to rock and roll all night. Everything else is filler. Frankie Valli could do you for hours.
Kiss had more than 2 hits.
2 mega hits.
I had more than 2 mega hits. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Frankie Valli either is or is going to be.
Okay.
No question.
Why do you always got to make it one or the other? I didn't, you know, start this proposition
you were the one
by going
slamming Frankie.
I wasn't slamming Frankie. I just said the Jersey Boys is a little too much Frankie. I like the Jersey Tenors because they give you a little more variety. That's all I said. I went to the play. I've seen it.
It's good.
Yes, I didn't say it was bad.
And Eastwood did fine.
I didn't see the movie.
He's not been doing so great.
I felt like once I saw the play, I didn't really need to see the movie. I'd seen the play.
I will say this as an aside. I think the money back guarantee.
Who played Frankie Valli in the movie, by the way?
The dude from the Jersey, the touring guy, whatever the name of that act is. I can't remember what the name of that act is. But Clint Eastwood's money back guarantee is no longer. He's put out some stinkers.
Okay.
He was hitting. He was hitting a thousand.
Like, you're gonna like. He's just rolling, isn't he? Okay, yeah. Let's segue into that.
Wait a minute.
How many hits does Clint Eastwood
Valley.
Have? But how many hits does Clint Eastwood have?
We need Frankie Valli bump music all morning. The rest of the hour.
I'm fine with that too. Yeah. John Lloyd Young is the name of the guy who was part of the Broadway cast mm-hmm. that ended up being in the movie. I forgot Christopher Walken was in that too.
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie. I like how it was stitched together. It made a good. It was fine.
I haven't seen it, so I can't tell you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it would be enjoyable because it's based on a play that was seen by gazillions of people that absolutely people loved.
Yeah, a lot of times musicals try to find lame excuses to get into a song. That one kind of stitched them together. You know, he's crooning her from down the street up to the second floor. They found ways to do their songs.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
All right. Feel free. I am not anti-Frankie Valli. I simply made a statement mm-hmm. that the Jersey Tenors offers a little more variety.
Yeah, it does.
That's all I said.
Mm-hmm. You also said they had less.
And you like questioned he's your first cousin or something. No. You took like some Tony Soprano offense. Somehow I was dissing Frankie Valli. I just, you know.
Nick is his agent.
It does feel that way a little bit, doesn't it?
That's the soundtrack of my youth.
Huh.
My mom loved it.
Okay. I was going to say, what year were you born?
In 1953,
it
sir.
It wasn't even the soundtrack of my youth.
I was a young lad.
Most of this was released before I was born.
No, it was on the oldies station. He was probably the captain of the oldies team at that point. I mean, his hits were, his voice was the most recognizable.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. There's a reason why it resonated and had such a shelf mm-hmm. life with the play and all that.
Yeah.
And everybody, I mean, I still think, despite our politicians, everybody still likes the underdog story. I mean, that's just something that we relate to as Americans at our core. We ought to remember that more often.
Yeah.
And we ought to apply that equally. It shouldn't just be Italian immigrants in New York that we root for.
Right.
Yeah, we ought to root for that kid from Vietnam who's going to be with us on Monday. By
oh, me. Really?
Yeah,
oh.
She's coming in.
Cool. That's a big get.
She was the Hickory Point Bank Merit Scholar. Got a $5,000 scholarship on Wednesday night. And so impressive. And so all I'm saying is if you're going to root for Frankie Valli, you ought to be rooting for
and
her.
And you already know I am.
I know. And it's, you know. Success stories are great to celebrate. And in our heart and soul, we do that, right?
That's right.
I mean, there's a reason why Miracle on Ice is still a thing today mm-hmm. when most people weren't alive to see it.
That's exactly right.
Because we did something. And if you look at the names on that team, Aruzio, these are not John Smiths.
Yeah, they didn't go on to be anything.
No, but what I'm saying, though, these were all products of people who mm-hmm. immigrated to this country mm-hmm. to be a part of the melting pot and what makes this country great. But now we seem to be picking and choosing on which one of those stories we want to root for.
Yeah, if you ever look at our American team in either Olympics, we don't look the same. We have got everybody with names, some you can't pronounce from yeah. all different parts of the world. It's great.
Yeah, I'm just asking for equal. Mm-hmm. Great is great. Anyway, so I'd rather, if you're going to do the Frankie Valli thing the rest of the show, and I don't know how many more opportunities we have, is that we do more of the 70s stuff than the 60s
Grease.
Stuff.
Grease.
I haven't heard that song for so long. I remember going to the theaters and seeing that for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, were you like, which character did you relate to? Were you a Rizzo? Were you Olivia Newton-John?
I love
Which
Olivia Newton-John.
Which of the pink ladies were
I
you?
I loved Olivia Newton-John.
Did you?
I had several Olivia Newton-John albums. So.
She came to town
I just loved
a number of years ago.
And, for what?
She was at Milliken.
I actually knew that.
Kirkland Fine Arts.
Later in her.
I was on a committee that it was about cancer mm-hmm. awareness, and there were like people from the medical community, Dr. Schrote and a bunch of people that brought her in. And she came and performed with her daughter. And they got into a huge fight in the middle of the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the daughter was evidently quite the, you know, that third generation stuff, right? We've talked about that. And so I thought it was weird, like, that she was, like, in a way, and I guess parents are just parents, no matter how wealthy or famous you are, trying to help your kids. You know, I mean, like, that wasn't kind of what I thought of about going to Olivia Newton-John show was Olivia Newton-John and her daughter. Who
right.
really, I mean... I'm not going to say she wasn't talented, but I mean, no one was there to see her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was this fit in the middle of the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's cringe.
She seemed like a sweet lady, though. I mean, you know, she has that accent you forget about mm-hmm. because she always plays, you know, like the American roles. And she got a lot of hits. Well, I mean, it was the same thing we're talking about.
I don't, only because my mind has eluded me. What else did she do besides Grease? I don't even really remember anything notable.
Are you serious?
I'm not saying. Xanadu. Oh, Xanadu. Okay. See, it's just that I have forgotten.
I am the only person. First of all, that movie and
she was not an actress. She was a musician.
I know that.
So I mean, her fame was her songs, and then she got into acting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, as an actress, I know that she had.
She did another movie with John Travolta.
I mean, she had.
I can't remember.
Hopelessly Devoted to You and You're the One That I Want and all that, just Summer Nights, all that was just from the Grease soundtrack. Yeah.
Big hits.
Have You Never Been Mellow?
Magic,
Water Under
Twist
the Bridge.
Of Fate, Please Mr. Please.
She did.
If You Love Me. I mean, she probably had every bit as many hits as Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, in a shorter window. Huge in the
1970s. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm no doubt denying how big she was on the music side. I meant movies.
Yeah, but that was her fame. And then she came to Kirkland to do a concert. And it was fun. And I don't know whatever happened to that, because we were talking about after that, maybe looking at, I'm drawing a blank, Melissa Etheridge.
Oh.
Hmm.
Because it was all about women surviving cancer, and there was a fundraiser attached to it. And they had like a pre-party, and everybody was like all dressed up. Very excited.
That's a neat. That's a neat to do.
Yeah, that was before the Devon.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can spend our Saturday meeting somebody portraying Olivia Newton-John, and it's even better.
Well, I'm excited.
I like the cover acts. I'm a closet cover acts.
Oh, really?
Fan.
Interesting.
Why not? You're not going to get Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, partially because Tom Petty's dead.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult.
But if you can get me somebody that can give me the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers vibe, mm-hmm. and I can enjoy all the music, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I'd rather see, right, the Chicago band from Russia than actually see Chicago.
Well, Leonid and friends, we already know how great they were. We saw them. They were phenomenal.
And I can't even root for the actual Chicago band because they won't talk to each other and show up to their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. So who wants to pay for that drama? Leonid and friends.
They'd have to do their concert. Like,
they're not going to do 25 or 6-4 any better.
No. No.
Right?
No, the real Chicago would have to do like Hollywood Square style, where everybody has their own penalty box,
oh my,
so they don't have to talk and look at each other.
That would kind of be fun.
It'd be
kind of
funny.
Kind of fun.
It would be kind of.
Yeah.
It would be.
I'd pay to see that.
Lindsay says they should bring Tig Notaro. Lindsay, this is like a 10, 12-year-old conversation. I don't think that committee's still together planning anything.
But yeah,
I mean, it was like a one and done.
That's funny. Yeah, that's.
But I remember the conversation was around Melissa Etheridge being next. And that was, you know, I mean,
at the time, that's the sweet spot right there. Yeah. That's crazy. Mm. I forgot she had come here.
Yes.
Olivia Newton-John. There's been a lot of really good ones that we were just talking about George Carlin the other day.
Bill Cosby.
I was there. I went and saw Bill Cosby.
You feel like giving a refund? Mm. Where are you at on that these days?
They haven't responded whether they're going to give me my money back or not.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you're nutty. No, it was not that great a show.
Really?
Yeah, Howie Mandel was there. There's been
How was Howie Mandel?
Fun.
Was he still putting the rubber glove on his head?
Yeah.
Howie Mandel, or was this like...
The crowd was like, do Bobby's World, do Bobby, which was his cartoon. He did this little squeaky kid voice.
Started as an act and then turned into a cartoon.
And so then he was getting Kirkland, like the crowd worked him into doing Bobby, which was weirdly
probably
out of place.
What proud moment for the people on campus of Milligan University.
Right, but he was a good show.
All right, good. Graduations this week. Milliken on Sunday, MacArthur Saturday morning, Eisenhower Saturday afternoon. By the way, they've moved those indoors because of the potential inclement weather. So I'll be wearing a mask.
Did you see what the sky did in the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'm enjoying watching this move in.
So you're wearing glasses today.
Yeah, I didn't feel like putting my contacts in.
That's okay.
In. Yeah.
It is amazing to me how glasses can change one's appearance. Or you just, like, it's a noticeable difference. And you go, oh, you're wearing glasses today.
I get that at the Y a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think you look natural with or without them.
Oh, well, thank you.
I wasn't suggesting
it's kind of the
boy, Nick's
itchy
about marking
eye
some
week.
Territory this morning here.
No.
It's been an itchy, dry eye week. And
it
I
has
just
been my...
Not...
Eyes have been,
and I normally don't get that way, but this week is, and I'm just like, I don't really want to put anything in my eyeballs.
No,
today.
If you look at like literally like it, my like the water makeup of my body is probably 40% saline solution at this point. I bet I've gone through a box of that stuff
size.
Over that last. It's just been horrible, and then the wind and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. last night was crazy.
Oh my gosh. All of a sudden, I thought a tree was going to come into our house.
It helped me relocate my my grass clippings. So
there you go.
I'm fine with that.
And then all of a sudden, like just that, it was that weird orange yellow color where you're going, okay, is that that a good sign or a bad sign?
Yeah.
Like the house is glowing. You're like, wait a minute, what's going on out there? Like when you see the closet in the movie or whatever.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right. So Merle Forsyth, I don't know when all the, most of the graduations, are they all this weekend or some in the next weekend?
Ours was last weekend.
Your St. Teresa's was early, right? Mm-hmm. Or earlier than most.
Yeah. So they started like last, and they'll probably go
Their finals are next week. So.
27. Okay. Yeah, so like
so we're out.
One more week.
I feel like that has changed over the years. Way earlier than when I was in school. Because we didn't get out until June.
June. Yes. First week of June usually. Yeah.
I mean, you were there past Memorial.
Yes. And that stunk because, you know, you're going to the Indy 500 and you're doing homework. Studying for finals.
Listening to Grease.
Right.
Soundtrack.
Yes.
So I remember, I mean, clearly it was June. And then I also remember we had to, right now, like they're going to school for an hour or a class or a test, and then they're done the rest of the day. Man, they had us doing a lot of busy work back in the day.
Yeah, we couldn't go off campus.
Right.
Yep. If they don't have a final, they can leave and then come back for their next final.
Yeah.
So it's open campus during finals.
I'm like, I come home, I have no idea whether the car's going to be in the driveway or not. I don't know. Can't keep up with it. Throwing a party tonight, and then the graduation is tomorrow. Very excited.
Oh, fun.
I also, I told you his new thing is, you know, criminal defense lawyer. And this is even before watching The Lincoln Lawyer. So we had one of the local law firms reach out. And so he's going to be interning at an office this summer and actually being able to go follow people in court.
That's great. That's the best way to learn.
What a great opportunity.
Yeah, very excited about that. So we appreciate the support. It's fun sort of not looking through somebody's eyes because I'm not the parent that is like, you must do this, you must do that.
A helicopter parent?
No. it's so weird because I know so many guys and it's not just a guy thing, but it's a lot more guy thing than it is gal thing in my mind about the sports. You know, that kids have to be like parents vicariously living through. And I don't mean like you supporting your daughter, you know, going to softball games. I'm saying like it's your worth or your value attached to it. Like somehow you're emasculated if, you know, your guy doesn't play football or basketball or whatever. And it just never was into that. And that was fine. You want to go build Lego robotics? You're going to be able to take care of yourself the rest of your life. You're not going to be here 40 years from now reliving a lost high school football game. You're going to be building, you know, the future. And it was always weird to watch that, you know, over the years. And how many parents were that kind of, I don't get that.
Yeah. So I've kind of been on both sides of that as a parent, as my daughter, her first sport, her love is softball, but she got into competitive swimming for several years and just a natural. I mean, she's just natural at it, but that wasn't her passion. That was my passion. And when she said that she didn't want to swim anymore, my heart sunk.
Really?
I was like, oh, and then I was like, wait a minute. And I had to step back.
Okay,
like,
but you know what? You got the self-awareness to do that.
That's your passion, not
your worth.
Yeah. And so she's found what she loves and I'm happy for her, and still in the back of my mind, I'm like, but what if, that's fine.
I'm not
very realistic. She knows she's not going to be a professional softball player.
No,
she knows she's not going to go to school and play softball because she knows her future is the profession that she chooses.
Yep. And so we were the same way, you know, it was early on. It was like Lego robotics and then it was band, and you know, the band kids, man, I'm telling you, they don't get nearly enough love.
Right.
Cause they got to go to
everything
game and play at everything.
Right.
And they rehearse and practice just as much. Right. You know, so it was exciting. So I'm, you know, whatever his future holds will be,
exciting.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with pushing kids to be better or getting better, but that living through thing, I just never really understood. I've seen a lot of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like I don't understand parents. He played soccer.
That can be brutal.
For like a minute.
Those parents can be.
And I can remember
too.
Standing out. God, this seems like forever ago. You know, out on South Shores Park with, you know, just hundreds of kids, and none of them knew what they were doing. I mean, at that age, and he would just stand on the field and tell other kids what to do. I mean, that's all he would do.
He's directing traffic.
Yeah, just like. Oh, God. And but I remember, you know, just standing there and watching parents screaming at the top of their lungs. I mean, these are just tiny kids that don't know. I mean, they don't know anything yet.
Where like all of them are at the ball. Right. All of them.
They're it's just
this.
Or where they're just looking for the juice people. Box, you know, and people are just losing their minds, and you go, what is wrong with you?
They only signed up for the juice boxes and the orange slices.
And a medal for everybody at the end. You know, whatever. But I mean, I recall, like it was yesterday, and this is, you know, probably 14, you know, 15, 13 years ago, thinking, how could you have so much attachment to this peewee thing that it matters to you who wins or loses or who scores or doesn't score? Where is it inside of you? Why are you screaming?
Yeah.
I hate saying that.
But it happens everywhere.
Oh, I know. I hate it.
I have people I know. People that I consider friends that have been kicked out of things because they can't control their temper.
I mean, the only time that I even think that it's appropriate is if your kid's in danger or, you know, something like that.
We're not even talking. We're not even remotely near that.
We're not close to that.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I used to be a little bit crazy.
Now, okay, I wasn't going to suggest or even imply, but since you brought it up.
But you knew.
Since you brought it up.
I thought your first name was Come On Ref. I heard it so much.
I will let you speak on behalf of the people that we're talking about.
Yeah. I've learned, and that came from my husband. He was like, look, you want to go out and coach, you go out and coach. If not, keep your mouth shut.
Good advice.
And so I was like, you know what? You're right. I do not want to coach. I don't know anything about the sport at the time. You know, I played it for a little bit, but I couldn't coach it. And I was just like, you're right. So I don't. I will yell because I am excited and I am just cheering them on.
All right. Yeah. Let me differentiate. So, I'm not talking about anybody that makes noise.
Yes.
I'm talking about people yelling at refs, yelling at kids, yelling at coaches from the sidelines of 5-year olds playing soccer in you know, South Shores.
They're not
Shores
even really
Park.
Keeping score.
I'm not going to lie, though. There are some times when I do get a little angry at the umps. Just saying. And something might just accidentally.
Do you know how hard it is for them to even hire umps because of this very reason?
Oh, I know. My dad was an ump, and he stopped umping because he was just like, it's not the kids, it's the parents.
Yeah.
So I still have a lot of learning to do, but I'm much more quiet than I used to be.
Over in Champaign, they have this huge facility by Parkland, like a bunch of soccer fields. Mm-hmm. My nephew lives over there. When he was a little peanut, there'd be hundreds of kids in the park, and they'd blow a whistle, and they'd change fields. But nobody ever knew what field they're supposed to be on. So about 15 minutes in, kids are just running around either chasing the ball or picking flowers.
Right.
And most people are having a good time. And you could hear the one guy or the lady 5 fields over that's making this into something that's really not.
Yeah.
I mean, over the noise of 100, 200 kids playing, that's you can funny. Still hear that one parent.
I would love to see a medical study, you know, a psychological study. For every Tiger Woods you get out of those parents, how many car wrecks are there? I mean, you know, in life.
Yeah. How many misses?
Yeah. How many? Who was the quarterback?
Marinovich.
Todd Marinovich. How many Tiger Woods versus how many Todd Marinoviches? And I guarantee you that's the unicorn. And Todd Marinovich is how it usually ends with that kind. Not always. Nothing's blanket and universal. But if you can't take care of your own self-awareness when you're at a 5-year-old kid's sporting event.
Or even a high school sporting event. I'm going to make sure my self-awareness is under control at the game today.
I think that's true too.
Yeah.
But if but you don't just get there overnight.
No,
if you're already there yeah. at your kid's 5-year-old right. soccer, you know, by no, the time high 60. School comes, you're Bobby yeah. Knight, you're throwing chairs.
Yeah, exactly when right. you're doing it when there's not even the right amount of people playing and they don't even have goals, like what? It's not going to be good.
That is so
when they
true,
start getting
though.
Rules.
All right,
so
now this
true.
Is an interesting segue. We got to take the break. But I sent you an article mm-hmm. That I found enlightening only from an outsider looking mm-hmm. in. But I'm curious as to what you
like,
thought about
no,
it.
No, I think
I wasn't
spot on.
Insinuating anything. Yeah. But I this same sort of, we've talked about this entry barrier, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about these mm-hmm. obstacles, the threshold mm-hmm. of somebody wanting to be in better shape and how it's scary to people outside looking in.
Yeah.
And I think people like you and Austin and others, and this isn't an insult at all. It's just you live it, you breathe it, it's every day. And I think maybe you don't even know what you could be signaling to people because yeah. you don't have that intent.
Yeah. We had to I think, you know, as you are in the profession, you have to relearn things.
Or go back to basics.
Yep.
And there's this guy yep. on TikTok that's doing this. Yeah. It's a story from The Atlantic, and it was how do you make this more friendly? And how do you mm-hmm. make this more where people aren't afraid to engage? And, right. and it was fascinating. I'm going to get into that because yep. I think there's some similarities in yep. the conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then our elected officials and people that want to be elected officials, they're all the people on the soccer pitch screaming at 5-year-olds.
And that's how we bring it all together.
What is this, if not the equivalent of screaming at 5-year-olds?
The poor
on the
sad
field?
Soldier.
Oh, what,
that was yesterday's mailbox. And by the way,
I was just going to say all
these
in one
are,
day.
No, well, there was more than this because there were duplicates of several of them because Lindsay got one and I got one as well.
Wow.
That was just yesterday.
Lucky you.
Your heart just has to break for that soldier. He's just so sad. She turned his back on him. This clip art, this two clip arts, trying to tell a dumb story.
And then this is how stupid they think you are. Mary Miller turned her back on our military. Arrow
to
pointing
her back.
To Mary Miller's back.
Just in case you didn't know
that's her back.
Because if you didn't know that you were looking at the back of her head.
That's one of the worst.
This is the one I love where she is. Now, this is a little more like there is Mary Miller voted against securing the border, says it's your responsibility to take care of illegal immigrants. Now she's standing here and every chance Rodney's campaign gets, they put a mask on her or they get a picture with a mask.
Yeah.
And there's all of these black and white grainy sort of border immigrant sort of imagery behind her. Right. And then Rodney is in jeans. Walking along the wall.
Full color.
Like he built it.
Full
right?
color.
That's the piece Rodney put in right there mm-hmm. along the Arizona, Texas, wherever this is, border. And he's looking at the wall. He's admiring the wall.
Here's what you have to do. You got to take those off your desk because you said you're done for the
right.
week.
I know. I said I don't have to talk to any of them anymore.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough.
I'm just saying this is the equivalent of screaming at 5-year-olds in South Shore.
So
that's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
All right. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned. Angela in from the YMCA. Don't go anywhere.
Just how low will a politician go to get elected? Ask Darren Bailey. Bailey's letting J.B. Pritzker finance his campaign. Over $5 million from the Democrats meddling in our primary, trying to buy the Republican nomination for Bailey. Pritzker finally admitted it.
There's a new ad from the Democratic Governors Association to help Bailey in the primary. You're behind this ad.
Yeah, I support that ad. It elevates attention to all of the good I'm simply trying to tell everybody who Darren Bailey is.
And Bailey's downright giddy about it.
You're glad to see those ads from the Democratic Governors Association?
Oh, yeah, I do. And that's beautiful.
So craven, Darren Bailey sold out at the drop of a dime for Democrat money. Easy to buy, easy to beat. Pritzker knows Bailey's too weak to win in November. And he shouldn't, because he's just like Pritzker. Darren Bailey raised our property taxes 13 times, 81% higher. Pritzker's favorite tax-raising Republican. We can never trust him again. Paid for by Urban for Illinois.
Judge Rodney Forbes, trusted, proven, experienced. Judge Rodney Forbes grew up and has worked his entire life in Macon County. Republican Judge Rodney Forbes now needs your vote. He's running for Macon County Circuit Judge and is the only candidate with proven courtroom experience on the bench. Judge Rodney Forbes, the best choice for Macon County Circuit Judge.
I'm Judge Rodney Forbes, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Judge Forbes.
It's Fuego Fridays, a radio show hosted by me, Dr. Z, every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WSOY. I'm bringing the heat, highlighting local community members, unlikely entrepreneurs, and culinary experiences in Central Illinois. Me and my surprise co-host as we engage in intention around food, fun, and social activities impacting our community. Make your Friday a Fuego Friday, every Friday at 5 p.m., WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, or online at nowdecatur.com.
Don't miss the Guess Who with special guest Revel in Red, live at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater in Decatur on Friday, July 29th. Come see the Guess Who playing all their hits from the past 40 years. American Woman. Live on July 29th. Stay away from me. No, tickets are on sale now at devonamphitheater.com. Visit devonamphitheater.com for tickets to see the Guess Who with special guest Revel in Red, live at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater on July 29th.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I was a little confused by this, right? Because the movie was about the 1950s, and all the soundtrack in the movie was the 1950s, but they had this like disco theme song of the movie. Felt like two different eras, right?
Happens all the time. It's part of marketing. Yeah. You see the period piece, like the whole Knight's Tale that was all Metallica. And
well, that was different, though. I mean, what I'm saying is the movie was a musical, and all the music in the movie was a 1950s-style music, except the theme song of the movie, which was disco-y.
And they were all high schoolers, and they were in real life 30.
90210.
I think they were hedging their bet about, like, wait, okay, people maybe not want this old stuff, but we can sell this new stuff at the same time. Yeah, and they were all... You know, I mean, I don't have any idea. There was a time in our lives, not your life, Nick, but Angela and I's lives, where every time John Travolta did a movie, we had a huge cultural shift in this country. Mm-hmm. It was Saturday Night Fever. Mm-hmm. It was Grease. It was the cowboy movie. Yep.
Midnight Cowboy? Urban Cowboy.
Urban Cowboy. Yeah.
Midnight Cowboy is John Voight.
And Dustin Hoffman. So we would go from disco to 50s to cowboy. Like and sales of clothing and culture. And I mean, would literally shift every time John Travolta put a movie out.
He was an influencer, big time.
Yeah, he really was.
Thank you, Vinnie Barbarino.
That was the original John Travolta. Hard to believe that he jumped from that TV show to superstardom, like overnight.
Yes.
And I watched Welcome Back, Kotter.
Me too.
Because we only had three channels.
Yep.
And I didn't know who Gabe Kaplan was before, and really, quite frankly, don't know what Gabe Kaplan's done since. He was supposedly
from Welcome Back, Kotter.
A exactly. stand-up comedian, but I never saw him do stand-up. By the way, the Carlin thing, I think, is this weekend. And, I wrote down a note. I am stoked. Coming Tuesday on Netflix, Supernature. Brand new Ricky Gervais stand-up show.
Oh, nice.
And I cannot wait.
He cuts sharp.
There are two people left in the world who are still sort of allowed to do this. One of them is Dave Chappelle. By the way, that guy that attacked him just got charged for attempted murder. Not on him, but somebody else he attacked with a knife.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But there's Dave Chappelle and there's Ricky Gervais that seem to be, at least internally, immune to all the pressures of the world and will do what they want to do. And I as hypocritical as this sounds, I still sort of like that.
Not my speed. Amy Schumer is up there too.
Fair enough. I just don't watch any of it, so I don't know.
She doesn't.
She
pull
seems
punches.
To be a little more one note to me than the two that I just mentioned. As
right,
comedians.
But she's not got the fear thing that other people do.
Right. But I saw that last night as I was getting ready to watch The Lincoln Lawyer. And it was like, is that new Ricky Gervais? Because his show about being the widower, did you watch that?
Of course, yeah.
God, that's just so funny. That is that quiet, weird British humor that just makes me laugh over and over. But him doing stand-up, and you sort of feel he has a magic about him the way Richard Pryor had, the way George Carlin had, that you feel like you're in it with him. like you're in on the joke. So it doesn't feel, I mean, it feels like you can do anything because you've been invited to participate and it's okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he mm-hmm. plays it. Yeah.
There's a twinkle in his eye and a kind of a nod and a wink where it's like, I'm going to really cut, but it's done for the sake of comedy and humor. And mm-hmm. we really ought to just not have anything that's a sacred cow. Right. And you kind of go, oh, yeah, okay. And then there's just a fine line between that and Tucker Carlson. And I can't figure out what it is.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais on David Blaine's Netflix. David Blaine's jabbed a rod through his arm, and they were in a restaurant booth sitting directly side by side, and Ricky Gervais just looks at him and says, this has to be fake. If it's not fake, then you're really messed up. and if it's fake, why am I so stupid that I can't figure out how this, I mean, just is how we would talk it through.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to say
there's
it.
There's a great couple of episodes with him in Comedians Getting Coffee in Cars with Jerry Seinfeld where they talk about the craft. So anyway, Tuesday, you got the George Carlin documentary, the two-parter. I believe that's on HBO Max. I can't wait to see that. We grew up in the golden era of comedy. If you're our age or remotely close. You came in on the early edge of Robin Williams mm-hmm. and Richard Pryor and George Carlin, even young, very young Eddie Murphy.
Oh, gosh.
And there was just
loving it.
Even Bill Cosby. I mean, I think you got to put his name, you know, despite what you think about all that. Mm-hmm. But Cosby before the Cosby Show, you know, not the TV Cosby, but the
chocolate
stand-up
cake one.
Cosby. I still remember the Mugs and Speed.
What? Okay, yeah, no. Don't know that one.
You don't remember that?
No.
It was Bill Cosby.
Nope.
And no Raquel Welch. And they were like ambulance drivers.
That's an interesting combo.
Harvey Keitel was the third. So it was a very interesting
cast. I don't think I've seen that.
And it was the first time I saw Bill Cosby in a darker sort of way, meaning language or role, because he was this other thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we sit back and go, I wonder which one of those was more accurate.
Right. One more thing coming out next week, Prehistoric Planet on Apple Plus. It's a big one. David Attenborough, BBC. It's like their Earth series, but it's with CGI doing the dinosaurs era.
All right.
It's a big one. They're pumping it big.
It'll go on my list, but it'll be way down. I got so much stuff, and there's so much stuff coming. Stranger Things is coming back. By the way, I had to go back and I read an article about the five things you need to remember about Stranger Things to enjoy the last season because it's been so long since.
I'm just going to rewatch it.
I said, I don't have time.
I got
things in
to.
Queue.
You have a long list.
Do you watch Stranger Things?
No, but I think one of my kids does.
You're from the 80s.
I know you told me to watch that.
Yeah, you'd get a money back guarantee on this one for you, for sure.
Okay. I'll forget what the name of it was when I walk out of here because that's where my mind just mushed.
Right now, The Lincoln Lawyer and The Offer are the two best things on TV by far. The new Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, really, really good.
We Own the City is up there for me.
And We Own the City, which is the true story about the police department in Baltimore that was done by the guy who did The Wire, right?
Yep.
It's David very Simon. Good. The timeline's a little confusing to me. I mean, they use some interesting ways to show it to you, but there's a lot of flashback and flash forward and flashback and flash forward.
John Bernthal.
He's very good.
He should get an award for his performance.
Yeah. All right. How do you make the gym trainer exercise, get off the couch experience more user-friendly? I sent you this article in The Atlantic. I thought it was very interesting. I think it's something that, I'll compare it to our industry for a second. We are, one of the things we struggle with as a company, 5 markets, tons of radio stations, websites, podcasts, media entertainment, is getting our people to not be back-end people, but seeing things from a user experience side, right? The danger is when you work in a place and the job is the job and you do the things is you get too back end. You know, we're on the back end of our websites, but we're not on the front end of our websites the way our consumers are, right? Mm-hmm. They're coming to our website, looking at it with their eyes about how do I find this? We're over here in the details of the back end, not even considering the user experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that translates to anything.
Yep.
So you've been in this field for a very long time. A lot of the people that work at the Y have been in this field for a very long time. Trainers, instructors. And I mean, you keep it fresh and you add new classes and you do all that. But it's hard sometimes to think about the user end versus the back end. And that's where this thing really hit me about this guy, older guy, working out in his backyard. Nick, he wears jeans. He won't even wear like clothing that looks like workout clothing because that can be like intimidating to people. What he's saying is, I'm going to make this as accessible and easy. I'm not going to use any equipment. I'm just going to show you all this stuff and I'm going to introduce you, and you can't do it wrong. Everybody's got to start somewhere.
Right. So what I've learned is you need to connect more than just communicate. You have to connect with the person because everybody, like, I thought this was really great. One of our trainers, one of the questions that she asked her clients is, how hard do you want me to push you?
But they don't even know the answer to that.
Because, you know, we as trainers, what do we want to do? We want to push you to, you know, 110%. Give it your all. Well, maybe you're not feeling it that day, but you made it in. So let's do something so you're, you know, you feel good when you leave. Obviously, I am not a trainer. That's my goal is not to make you puke in a bucket. No. Right, and that's not my goal.
Now, hang on a second. Look, now, let's go anecdotal.
Maybe
here.
Today.
Let's go anecdotal. And I'm not afraid of that. I will tell you that I don't feel like I succumb to some of the same pressures that maybe other people do. I am very my own mind on things, good or bad. And there's plenty on both sides of that equation. But like, let's just say Monday, you wanted me to do four sets.
That was a 3 to 4 hour goal. I would have liked to have gotten through four.
See, Nick, see what I'm talking about? She's already doing it. And so I, at the end of three, said, I'm done. Because I know my body. It wasn't that I was going to be lazy or I didn't want to push. It was just, it's Monday. I'm tired. I've got my things in. I did them pretty quick. I got the reps in. I feel like I got enough. And I'm confident enough in me to say that to you.
Yeah.
But you gave me a look of disappointment.
No, I did not.
Oh, baloney. Baloney.
He's lying.
Liar, liar, pants
lying.
On fire.
That's not at all true.
You don't even maybe know that you do it. But there is a body language. There's a look. And there that to people.
I probably rolled my eyes and went,
yes. People with maybe a little less confidence in their own thing would go, oh, my God, I didn't do enough.
I only do that to you.
That's wrong.
So I only do it to Brian.
So
I wouldn't do it to anybody else. Just you.
And the refs.
And the refs. That's it.
So I think, yes, push. You know, I assume somebody's better off on a treadmill reading a paperback than not doing anything. I get that it's probably frustrating when you're in the business of trying, because you have customers that will pay you that want results, but then don't put enough work in to get the results. So there's a fine line in all of this. And I don't know what the right answer is. But there is a sort of disapproval thing when you live and breathe. And when I say you, I mean just in general.
Austin's
kind of this way. I mean, Dana was this way. Molly, I mean, every trainer I've worked with, they have expectations built on their own sort of expectations. And is that user friendly? That's an interesting dynamic for me.
And I think, you know, we're always evolving and we're always learning as trainers too. And that's kind of what came out of, do we really need to do personal training for an hour? Can we break it down to a half an hour? And that's been helpful. And reading this article, you know, he's spot on. Do we really need to tell everybody that they need to do 150 minutes a week? Because then if they can't do 150 minutes a week, are they saying, well, I can't get 150 in, so I'm just not going to get
and
any in,
well,
right?
You're setting them up to feel failure, right?
So I would much rather you know, okay, well, I can get 10 minutes in today, and maybe I get 20 minutes in tomorrow. Well, that's better than no minutes at all.
All right. And then there was an interesting thing in this article that I would love to spend a few minutes with after we take the break. Is go back to your grade school, middle school, high school gym teachers.
And that presidential physical fitness.
I just want you to picture that in your head.
Yeah.
For a few minutes here, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about that. Because I think they're responsible for setting the wrong tone to begin with for the rest of your life about physical fitness. Not all. Some.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. Stay tuned.
Today, we've got a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., just another hour or so. Partly sunny and a high near 86. For tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low around 61. For Saturday, showers, possible thunderstorms, high near 76. And for Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 66. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 75 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:51.
Welcome back to our show. Okay, contestants, who's the only true conservative Republican running for governor?
Is it Richard Irvin?
No way. Richard Irvin is a lifelong liberal Democrat. Irvin voted for Barack Obama in the Democratic primary for president. And Irvin called J.B. Pritzker a great leader and great friend. It's definitely not Irvin. Jesse Sullivan? Wrong again. Sullivan is a longtime Democrat and is supported by liberal billionaires in San Francisco. Darren Bailey? Correct. Darren Bailey is the only true conservative Republican for governor. Bailey is a lifelong Republican who voted for Trump for president. Bailey opposed every tax increase in Springfield and took on J.B. Pritzker to protect our freedoms. Darren Bailey, the only true conservative Republican for governor.
Paid for by Bailey for Illinois.
Has your family outgrown your home? Maybe you're looking to downsize. Whatever your reason for making a change, there's no better time than the present to sell your home. Low housing inventory means less competition and potentially more money for your home. What about finding your next home? Low interest rates means more home for your money. What are you waiting for? Don't miss this favorable market and unique opportunity to sell your home. Get more attention, more exposure, and make bigger impact when you list with Brinkotter. Visit us at Brinkotter.com or call your Brinkotter agent today.
Come be a big kid for a good cause. Adult VIP night at the Children's Museum of Illinois is a must-attend event filled with fun, food, spirits, surprises, and more. Saturday, June 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. So get your tickets right now for this adult fundraiser. Only at the Children's Museum. Come hungry and thirsty and take advantage of the Big Kid Beverage Hub and Snack Attack Stations featuring Caddyshack and more. Plus, check out vinyl spinning, selfie stops, raffles, auction, and a 50-50. Check out CMOFIL.org for all the deets.
The Beach House, now open for lunch. Stop in and enjoy seafood, steak, wine, cocktails, salads, sandwiches, drinks, and high-quality food. The Beach House is ready for you. Enjoy an amazing lunch or dinner overlooking beautiful Lake Decatur. You won't find a better atmosphere, view, staff, or food. The Beach House, located at 2301 East Lakeshore Drive, overlooking beautiful Lake Decatur. Stop in for lunch and see why everyone loves the Beach House.
Listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I was just so annoyed at the whole Kinnicky character.
Wait.
He wasn't edgy enough.
All right.
Where he gets knocked out cold.
You go from the raw, edgy Saturday Night Fever to the bubblegum pop stuff of Grease. It was a departure, right? And then Urban Cowboy had Scott Glenn. You went, who is that guy? I mean, I just remember like, you know, and still to this day, you know, played Stick in the Daredevil series. I mean, that guy, I am just a huge fan of. And he just jumped off the screen as the bad guy in Urban Cowboy, and nobody knew who he was.
Right.
All right. So let's take you back circa 1976. Mm-hmm. Got your gym teacher standing there, male or female, same coach's shorts, whistle, probably a little bit overweight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stereotyping completely here.
Did you go to my high school?
No. This is like middle school to high school. Because you get out of grade school, one of the first things you learn about middle school is, whoa, gym teachers. And they all had a look, right? And they had these stupid fitness test things you had to do, the presidential physical. And they had, to say that they were not very nuanced is to be about as kind as I can be about life.
Yeah.
They all thought they were Bobby Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them. And throwing a chair, that's motivation, right? Calling you a name, that's motivation. They generally would teach driver's ed. That was the second thing they did. And, right?
Yep.
Now, by the way, I'm sure it is way different today. And
it was
better.
Tapering off by the time I was going through. Because I have fond memories of 90% of my gym teachers or coaches.
Okay. Name one. Just out of the top of your head.
Mr. Moore. Yeah. Great guy.
Okay.
Mr. Meister, Mr. Richard, Ms. Cox.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this may not be have any bearing in today's, but once again, we evolve as human beings. But they gave us our first introduction, mm-hmm. if you will, to the world of physical fitness. Mm-hmm. Unless you were, because soccer wasn't a thing when I was in grade school, so there weren't hundreds of kids in South Shores mm-hmm. Park. There was Little League, and those same people, by the way, were probably coaching Little League. And they all had that tone-deaf sort of coach's jacket. They call it a coach's jacket. That's the name of the piece of fashion. The visor. Fashion. The visor.
Yeah.
The whistle. Mm-hmm. And they all had the same personality. Why is that?
I don't know.
Many people got turned off by the world of just being physically fit by their first introduction to it.
Yeah.
Did you dread going to gym class?
No, I liked gym, but I think there was those that really enjoyed it and those that didn't. There was nothing in between. That you either liked it or you didn't.
Yeah.
That, I mean, there was like, oh, well, yeah, I can take it or leave it. No, it was like you either dread going or you enjoyed it.
They made it fun for us.
I liked PE. I mean, I was, you know, I'm competitive by nature, but there were certain things I hated doing.
What did you hate doing?
Like climbing that dang rope. That yeah. thing, every time it was rope climbing day, I was like, oh, don't pick me. I'm just going to stay. I'm going to sit back here. Don't pick me.
Okay.
Don't like it.
See, but keep that memory in you because yeah. that's your
flex
user experience.
Flex arm hang. That whole presidential physical fitness thing, I was okay.
Wonder who created, I mean, like these people, like who did they have in charge? Like they knew nothing about physical
fitness.
And it's
so funny because they just chose a day or the week. There was no training to get you better at, and okay, do as many sit-ups as you can. Do as many.
Right. And you know, how often times in your life will you climb a rope?
No, and I'm not shuttle running. I'm not doing the standing broad jump on a daily basis. I mean, there were certain things that, you know, naturally certain people can do. Sprinting, not my thing.
Yeah.
Never will be my thing, but I could run the 600. I mean, that was no problem. But the flex arm hang,
so it was arbitrary.
Just,
but I wonder if we're not, and you're not more yeah. specifically, in your arena, still dealing with the effects of how people were introduced to physical fitness.
Yeah.
And that's why this thing yeah. in the Atlantic really caught my attention because yeah. this guy's figured out how to connect with people.
Yeah. Come on, I'll take some from that.
I think Angela's singing.
I am.
Yeah, very quiet.
Yeah, you don't want to hear me sing on the radio.
Well, you know, people have to know their
limitations. I need a little bit of wine for that.
As the aforementioned Clint Eastwood once said. Hey, you know who died? Vangelis. You know who that is? Chariots of Fire. Remember that soundtrack
yeah.
from the 1981 British film?
It's great.
That music will be in your head yep. forever.
It's all motivating. Right.
That's it. We'll see
Have
you
a great
Monday.
Weekend.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.